This is The Art of Hating. I'm a career artist, I guess I would say. I am a tattoo artist, but I'm also just a lifetime artist, art enthusiast. I just absolutely love to talk about is art history. I'm genuinely like the most annoying person at the museum. I believe that it's okay to like hate on art, pretty much. And I think that art exists to be critiqued and discussed. Welcome back to The Art of Hating. I am your host, Annabelle Warren, and this is my co-host, Charlotte Warren, my sister.
Hello, Charlotte. I'm here. The village idiot is here. I've left my village to idiot with you. I'm the layman who knows nothing about art. I think it's really cool. Art historians, they're intimidating people unnecessarily, in my opinion.
Yeah. But because when you know the secrets behind these like very famous, incredible paintings, it just like totally changes how you feel about it. And there's all kinds of weird little like fun shit. The topic of today is people who have attacked art. People who have attacked works of art throughout history. And turns out it goes pretty far back.
Like people, physically attacking the art piece or just you know, bad art?
Yes. So, and I want to specify attacks on art, not vandalism, because vandalism, when I think of that, and I think the way a lot of people understand it is like really a crime of opportunity, in the realest sense. So,
what about political? Like, don't people like vandalize or attack art for political reasons too?
Yeah. Yes. Totally. Yeah. People will definitely attack for political reasons. Yeah. There's kind of like a bevy of reasons why people might do this. I think like really it's the intention, the level of violence.
So this is someone physically defacing art in one way, shape or the other.
Okay. I think, yes, attacking art has violence to it. Vandalism could just be like tagging on the dumpster.
Okay.
You know? So
if someone vandalizes art, is that still an attack on art?
Good question. I wouldn't say that. You mean like somebody draws a mustache?
Yeah, someone draws a mustache, or they're just a menace and they want to throw a blob of paint at the art and ruin it. Like, or you know, is that different? Does an attack have like intent of like, I am here to fuck up this person's painting?
Well, the thing is, for the most part, when this has happened, it's not usually like somebody just being like, do it for the vine, you know? It's like a lot of it has a really like strong intention. It's like, have you ever heard of iconoclasm? Do you know the term iconoclasm?
No. I've heard it, but I'm too dumb.
So the way I understand it, it's people who like strongly, morally, religiously, for whatever reason, oppose like the use of idols and icons. And sometimes that can be like a psychosis thing a little bit, you know, or people like people are always claiming they're Jesus reincarnate.
Yeah.
So it usually was like more along the lines of that kind of thing.
So do you think politics falls in those? Like, aren't there like people that go like, wasn't there someone who it was like, PETA's always doing bullshit like that. Like they're always like going and
PETA. I think you're thinking of Just Stop Oil, which actually is.
Yeah.
On
oh, that
here.
One.
So we
that's
could,
like political.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we could start with that a little bit.
Yeah. Do people ever do it because they want to get revenge on the artist?
It's one-sided beef. Artist doesn't know that the vandal exists, but the vandal's like, I hate him!
I mean, yeah, totally, yeah, that's totally. I mean, that's the case when people
usually,
hate celebrities.
Yeah, dude, people like, have straight beef with paintings. It's so crazy and it's so funny. But yeah, I will go over just so that we have like some context for modern. Yes, Just Stop Oil, I believe, is the organization that like threw soup on the Mona Lisa and Sunflowers by Van Gogh.
Why soup?
Girl, I have complicated emotions about this because I actually, like, they knew that these paintings were going to be covered in glass. It was purely a stunt. They still, of course, were, like, arrested and charged, which sucks. But I think that their message is so actually profoundly interesting and important. And I was an environmental studies major, so I feel I have one hand in either of these fields. And, like, I I get it. I don't know. I get it. People won't get it until it's too late. But
how
whatever.
Would you feel if someone went to one of your art shows and defaced one of your pieces in the name of a political cause that you care about?
That I care about?
That you support?
Well, they wouldn't. That wouldn't make any sense. Yeah, it wouldn't make sense. I don't know. I mean, it's complicated. It's kind of complicated, but I will say that for the most part, when I think about like vandalizing artworks, I like think it's low key kind of funny. Some of these are straight up offensive and harmful.
Okay, but, like, I want to hear the stories.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
give me the tea.
So there was that one, and then actually another one recently was a student at Cambridge University spray painted over the painting of Arthur Balfour, who helped establish Israel. So yes, it is. It can be pretty political.
Do they seem to pick things that are covered in glass or that are fixable, or do they ever like really fuck
something
things
like
up?
That? Like the Palestine protesters, straight on that thing. Bam. No, that was an act of violence. With like the Mona Lisa, it's like, of course we're not gonna fucking throw soup on the Mona Lisa. Come on, but we need you guys to pay attention. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, so this one actually so interesting. This is a very violent one. So have you heard of the sculpture Pietà?
No.
Okay. This
I swear I've seen it. Where is that?
That is at the Vatican. Okay. So Pietà means pity. It is Michelangelo's sculpture from 1498.
Oh.
Like Mary holding Jesus, her son. And Pietà is like a motif in art. It's done in many different ways. The motif just being Mary holding her dead son. But this is kind of like the most recognizable version of that. And it's so beautiful. It's so unbelievably fucking perfect. And of course, Michelangelo, he like does things with the proportions. So Mary is like gigantic and like way younger than she's supposed to be. It's totally beautiful. For that reason, I can understand why people might experience something like Stendhal syndrome being around this sculpture. This guy, I don't think it qualifies as Stendhal syndrome because he clearly had planned this. He was 33 when he did this, the same age that Jesus died. This man, Laszlo Roth, he was 33, and he attacked the Pietà with a geologist's hammer. Attacked it with like a little geologist's hammer, broke her nose off, broke her eyelids off, like did significant damage to the face of Mary. And I'll show you a picture of kind of like what...
Oh, whoa.
Which like... When you understand Michelangelo did the Sistine Chapel. He did David, which was carved out of a piece of marble that like nobody else could handle. And he was like, fuck, I got it. Did that when he sculpted this when he was 24.
Jesus.
24. It's the only piece
of art.
It is
wild. Like how crazy talented and young these
artists are. Oh, the Italian Renaissance, dude. At some point we're going to have to like dive into it. I could talk about the Italian. I don't want to like focus too much on like white people, you know, but the Italian Renaissance, we got to get into it. Cause
cool.
There was something in the water. Something was up. At that time. But Michelangelo was like the best of all of them. This work is so unbelievably priceless and like old. Laszlo Roth, he attacks it, 15 blows to her face. And when interviewed later, he said that he believed he was Jesus Christ and that the icon of Mary, he didn't like the icon of Mary pretty much. Mm-hmm. He thought that like Jesus is eternal and he shouldn't have a mother and the mother shouldn't be represented here. So like a random like religious delusion thing. Mm-hmm. But it is so interesting. Like why attack Pietà? Like why do you go for the most priceless, important work of art? You know, there must be something so compelling about it. Which leads into, we got to talk about Barnett Newman.
Who the fuck is Barnett Newman?
Okay. Oh my God. Love this guy. Okay. And this happened in the 70s or 80s. Shoot. Oh, I wish I wrote it down. Okay. Well, this painting was created by Barnett Newman in 1967. You might have heard about this one on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
So ring a bell.
It's a red. It looks like the Tommy Hilfiger logo. But it's a red square.
It's a red square.
You're
goddamn right. Yeah. So that's Barnett Newman. He was an abstract artist.
This, artist.
This painting is huge. Also, by the way.
Oh my God.
And yeah, he was like a teacher, and then he got into painting and whatever.
And he just did copy paste a giant red square.
You would think, right? Yeah, totally. And almost like all of his works are like this. Like, he's got a bunch. And so of course there was some like pushback. It's abstract art. There's all kinds of experimentation going on. And then there were people who like strongly opposed the abstract art movement. So, oh, okay. It was attacked in 1986 by Gerard Van Bladeren.
In what? Okay. I also, these attacks, I want to know, in what way are they being attacked?
Okay, so this one, so interesting, because the last one, he attacked it with a hammer, right? Yes. This one, he slashed it with a knife like 50 feet all the way across. Slashed the entire thing wide down the middle.
Why?
Because he was like an artist, but like not a good one. And he was part of this group of people that like really opposed abstract art and felt like it was like evil and like mocking and taking away from what real art is, which I'm like, hey, you know, hey, sometimes
is there any
you and me, brother, but
yeah, is there any single piece of art or maybe like artist who seems to be attacked the most? Actually, are most of these like a single attack, or like are they,
most of them are a single attack? Pietà might have gotten attacked twice, like maybe once by a lady.
What happens after attacks? Like, do they start getting more secure and all of a sudden?
Oh my god,
attacks?
I totally forgot to talk about that.
What happens?
Well, so you have.
Do they call the artist to repair it?
Can't call up Michelangelo, right? Exactly. So that I totally skipped over like the restoration stuff. So, so they have like people who do like painting restoration with paintings. We're actually going to get into it with this Barnett Newman one, but like with the sculpture, I believe they took pieces from her back to like fix the nose and were able to miraculously. Also, when he smacked the nose off of the sculpture, no, but it broke like 100 pieces off, and there were people in the gallery at that point, and like a bunch of people grabbed pieces. And,
I mean,
like, some people returned them, but not all of them are returned. Okay. So there's little fragments of the original fucking Pietà wandering, running amok out there. Who knows?
Would you keep it or would you give it back?
Dude, I don't know. I would give it back.
I would give back some of it.
Come on.
Just like you have find to a wall on back. The ground, you take a...
No, that's so bad. You'd have to. Pietà, fuck, dirty dude. Peasant, sorry. That would be, you'd be haunted forever. That'd be insane. And what are you going to do? Sell it on the black market?
No, keep it in a little jar by my bed and make a wish.
Anyway, okay, so Barnett Newman. So this painting is called Who's Afraid of Red, Yellow, and Blue 3. He had a bunch of these, and it was always like, who's afraid of yellow, blue, and red?
Is it literally just three colors?
Yeah.
Let me see it.
People believe that because the name of this painting was a question, it invited a lot more like rage around it. Like, this guy attacked it, but people like had visceral reactions to this painting for whatever reason. I don't think I would. I don't know why this was happening, but I don't know. Maybe people were just super dramatic in the '80s like that. But yeah, so this guy, he like slashes it. Right. And this is making the argument for abstract art, like that it's not just something anybody can do, because the painting went forward with restoration. They hired some guy, I don't know, to restore the painting. How do you do that? How do you like restore the slash and then make it look like the paint was never touched? Like, you have to restore it completely flawlessly. And they give the painting over, and like 4 or 5 years pass, like, and they're still not getting it back, and they're asking. Finally, they get it back. They hang the painting up on the wall, and they have like a fence around it, I guess, and you know, people are viewing it, but they can't like get close to the fence. But then there's like one like professor or something who's like, fuck that fence, I'm going over it, and like jumps over and walks up to the painting and is like, this looks different. And we're like, what? Like, no, this definitely looks different. So they brought it back in. Turns out this like restorer guy had like paint roll. He couldn't match the strokes. This painting had been done with basically imperceptible brush strokes. Like, it was so perfectly painted. Just this red square, blue and yellow, like, rectangle. It was so beautifully and, like, cleanly painted, it could not be recreated. So this guy fully, like, used a paint roller and just rolled over it, like, four times with a paint that can't be removed. It, like, fully can't be restored at this point. It's so crazy. Oh, and then the guy who slashed the painting originally heard about all of this drama. This is a true story, okay? This is real. The whole thing is on 99% Invisible, that podcast. So they have one about this. So the guy hears about it. He, like, goes back to the museum looking for it, looking to slash it again, intending to slash it again, couldn't find it. So he slashed another one by this same artist.
And now
I think he's banned from all.
Yeah. Well,
there's this guy, I think his name's like Hans Bormann or something like that. Mm-hmm. Hans Bowman. And he went on like a slashing, burning, throwing sulfuric acid on paintings. He went on like a spree. And like, turns out he had like some mental issues, ended up getting a lobotomy. This is also in the 70s. He got a lobotomy he like went nuts and started like attacking paintings.
I mean, it's better that, like, no offense to artists, but it's better that than people. Like, you know, at least not murdering people.
That's true. There's probably some art historians that would disagree with you.
Probably.
Like, I'd rather have a Rembrandt than Greg, actually. Greg,
yeah.
So.
I would choose that over Greg.
Yeah.
The guy's named Greg.
But yeah, he went nuts and like kept getting put away. And they would be like, stop it. Stop. Okay. And he'd be like, okay. And they would release him. Boom. Immediately he's back to it. Sulfuric acid. Dude, like, up until he like went to rehab, kind of like got fixed a little bit. Yeah,
learned not to vandalize art.
Pretty much. They had him in like art therapy. I'm not kidding. And then he like got out and everybody thought he was like doing okay. And then he like did it one more time and then died like 6 months later.
Died.
It's like, so special guy. But you see what I'm talking about now. So that's also the process of like restoration is like so incredibly fucking difficult. And there's people that they have different methods of doing this.
Yeah.
Some people feel uncomfortable about it because it feels like if you're restoring a famous painting, it's not the real artist's hand.
Well, I think everyone, when people think of art restoration, like they always see the stuff that makes the news. Like there was the one painting where it was like they made it look like a little like babushka in a hood. It was really like a Jesus one.
Oh my God, everyone's
seen that meme.
Yes.
Everyone's seen
that.
I think when people, like, that's the stuff that makes the news, whereas like, isn't art restoration, like a lot of times it's typically just like, you know, polishing. Like you're not really doing much to it. It's just making sure things don't go to shit.
Yes, I imagine that's most of it. Like having to like clean off the top layer of varnish, which usually isn't like too crazy.
Yeah.
What
is an art restoration person? I don't know the name of the title. Art restoration person, like, what is their experience? Like, are they like art historians, or is it kind of like a advanced janitor?
I feel like it's like a chemist type thing almost. Sense.
So they're like, yeah, okay.
It's very technical. Although I do wonder, you know, I wonder like how many art historians are artists. Honestly, like not everyone.
Yeah.
There are like a lot of like art history professors on a graduate level, like, are not artists.
Well, just like food critics aren't chefs.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Yeah. And like gallery owners and art market people. It's like, you kind of have to have a different like part of the brain to be able to do that. This is called Ivan the Terrible and His Son Ivan on November 16th, 1581.
Did the artist name that?
Yes. Yes. And it's by Ilya Repin. It's from 1885. Have you seen this painting?
Yeah, I've seen that. He's dead,
right?
He got shot or something.
And when you kind of zoom in on the two figures at the center, the expression,
yeah, they look sad.
Thank you so much, very descriptive. Okay, I'm gonna describe it. So it's a beautiful painting. Center of the painting are two figures. There's an older man kind of like holding the younger man and holding his head, which clearly has a brutal wound to it. There's like a saber on the floor, and the old man, the expression on his face, this is like such an incredibly famous painting because of the expression on his face. It is absolutely so haunting. It's like mm-hmm. something straight out of a horror film, the way that he's looking right now. And ultimately, so this painting is about, what was it? It's about how Ivan the Terrible, he gets in an argument with his son and, I don't know, kills him, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, immediately regrets it mm-hmm. and like realizes what he has done, and he's like cradling his son as his son is dying. His son is not dead yet, but like clearly dying, and it's like just such an intense moment. Mm-hmm. But also somewhat political, and so people I think this painting's been attacked like 3 times or something.
Wait, what political causes? Like, because I feel like it's pretty bipartisan that killing your son is bad.
Right. There's a lot of people actually who like oppose the painting because they believe that it hurts like Russia's pride. Somehow. It's somehow. Literally, Russians, I wrote like it's yeah. somehow offensive to Russians. I don't know. Because.
were the subjects of the painting like something? Like, is there some sort
1581
of.
1581.
I don't know. So was he like the. The czar of the Charlotte Russes?
I don't know if Russians are just such proud.
They're an interesting bunch.
Yeah, I don't know, but it is a stunning painting. Oh my God. I think it's in Chernobyl. It's like in the background behind Ooh. Like Mr. Gorbachev, pretty Ooh. Sure. So the first attack was a 29-year-old iconoclast who it was something about like the representation of this one didn't have
was make, there like, anything like with the church or something, like aren't Russians and church like the Russian Orthodox
it probably was something along those lines, like I don't really understand how all that Christianity stuff works.
Yeah.
But it was first attacked by like this 29-year-old guy and he tore it up. Oh yeah, you can see the slashes, the big Oof. Old slashes there. Mm-hmm. In a way that looks pretty like irreparable. Mm-hmm. And actually after he did this, the curator of the gallery then threw himself under a train. So this painting has like a crazy like weight to it, you know, mm-hmm. like not just the figures, but it's like there's like all this weird history behind it. Mm-hmm. In 2018, it's been attacked and protested like a bunch mm-hmm. of times. But then the next one that actually did damage was in 2018. A drunken visitor broke its glass with a metal bar and really fucked it up.
Oof.
Yeah. So I think they're in the works of like restoring that one. That is an extremely provocative painting for whatever reason. I think anything that portrays like a specific emotion mm-hmm. that people like really connect with, you look in the eyes. We talked last time about the lunatic of Etretat, like the look in her eyes tells the entire story.
Yep.
That like really provokes people for whatever reason. The last one that I want to talk about are the Bamiyan Buddha statues. This is like ancient.
Where are those right now?
So they don't exist anymore, unfortunately. They were in Afghanistan. Mm. These sculptures were carved out of the mountain, like these fucking giant Buddhas. Here, mm-hmm. I'm going to show you a picture Ooh. Of what they used to look like.
Boom. Whoa.
They're pretty like worn in, but they're like 1500 years old. They were carved 1500 years ago. When you think about like 1500 years ago, art from 1500 years ago, which there are plenty of museums that have like stuff from BC and whatever, but the value of something from 1500 years ago is like how many generations is that? How many generations do we have between 100 years, 3, 4,
like if you more if you're going back, if you're going way back
oh
in time.
My God, yeah. Dude, that's so many lifetimes lived, and like the way that art has progressed and communicated with all corners of the world, but it's like this is such an early time for humans. Honestly, like early humans weren't really, it took a while for like Homo sapiens to get to making art for art's sake. like a long time. It was all like functional, you know, it would be like religious figures and stuff. It took a long time for people to like get to the point of like making like beautiful art for art's sake. So, I mean, to give you a little perspective, also, Bamiyan was attacked by Genghis Khan, like 800 years after these were created. And he was 800 years ago from us. Mm-hmm. So these are like 800 years prior to that. Like, that's so crazy. Double the time of Genghis Khan.
That is wild.
And in 2001, the Taliban bombed them because they believe that they're like false idols. And yeah, it fucking sucked.
Are there any other cases of like art attacks on art, like actually destroying something beyond repair? It seems like the other ones were like restored.
Yeah, for the most part, able to be restored, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't. These ones definitely were fully bombed. Mm-hmm. And will not be able to be restored. I don't know if there's been any that were like completely irreparable.
Mm-hmm. At least not by like an art attack, like, you know, fires and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that, like, happen.
Yeah, not necessarily
for other reasons, but
yeah, I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the Bamiyan statues, they had the force of the Taliban behind it. Like, one person, mm-hmm. you know, destroying art, like, you can only get so far before you get tackled by the museum guard. But, exactly. like, they took these, and they, like, forced the people who live there to, like, put explosives in them and, like, take them down. It's just so, to destroy, like, such beautiful old things. I mean, it happened, like, in World Wars, too, right?
Yeah.
Like, they aimed for certain, like, architecture. Mm-hmm. World War II, like, a bunch of Rome got
9/11,
destroyed.
9/11? You just go for the...
Yeah, 9/11. But, like, we're talking, like, ancient stuff being destroyed. And, you know, so, like, Europe, really. Like, a lot of insane things. Library of Alexandria burned down.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, but I, who knows if it, that could have been an act of vandalism.
Could have been.
Totally could have been. Mm-hmm. Totally could have been. So, yeah, those are all instances of art being attacked, people being overwhelmed by art. I had asked you if you had a painting to chat about.
I shared a few with you. Which one would be your favorite to chat about right now? We're going to hate on art.
Should we talk about Goya?
Yeah.
And Saturn devouring his son?
Yes, which I know there's multiple versions of. Like, I feel like the Goya one is, like, pastel, kind of, like, smudgy. And there's another one that's like, oh, this one's dark.
Yes. So,
why do people want to paint that scene so badly? Is that a loaded question? Like,
I've drawn it.
Terrifying thing where it's like it's Saturn devouring. Yeah. He's like got a child's head in his mouth and he's ripping the head off.
Well, okay, yeah, that's true.
It's a painting of that.
So here's the Goya one. So it's basically like this like big, giant old man with a very scary look in his eyes.
Yes.
Like, honestly, this one is comparable to the Ivan the Terrible one as far as like crazy eyes. I've like tried to recreate this before. I've done all that I can to like portray a really specific emotion in someone's eyes. It's hard. It's super hard to do. It's very hard to capture. But so this is Saturn, allegedly, and he has like a body that is missing the head and an arm, and then one of his arms is in his mouth and he's like ripping it off and there's blood. But this painting isn't super detailed. It's kind of smudgy, right? Like you said. Yeah, it's like a little smudgy. It's almost like with like pastels or something. So it's not quite as specific as, let's say, I'll show you Saturn devouring his son by Rubens. Mm-hmm. And this one is also very scary, but not as iconic as... not as iconic as the Goya one. Also, the Goya one, it was painted during his, like, black period, like, on a wall. He was, like, going insane by the time that he painted that. I think he also went blind. We'll have to talk about him. He's a little freak.
And, yeah, he's a freak.
Yeah, he's definitely a little freak. He went
he's
through
the,
it.
Oh, the...
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Rubens, who is, like, arguably my favorite painter, Saturn devouring.
Yeah, see,
son.
That one's terrifying because it's, like, very clearly an infant child being murdered.
Exactly. It's very clearly an infant, and he's just fully taking a chomp out of the kid's chest. Goya painting, to elaborate on that, that one actually has never been confirmed that it's Saturn devouring his son. It was just a painting that was done like on his wall that he did.
Like on his physical wall or like on a...
I believe it's just like on the walls. And I think you... I could be wrong with this. I could swear you could like still go see some, but I think a lot of it is faded.
Was Goya... was he famous enough where they like retrieved that quickly or...
Yes. Okay. I think so. Yeah, I think it was... He was like going blind for a while and like losing it.
Oh yeah, my other dumb question. Any of those like art that has been defaced, whether attack or whatever, like for what cases where the artist is alive, how does the artist typically react to that? Or they usually, is it usually like not that in case?
It's probably super freaking bummed, honestly. There was a video I saw recently on Instagram. God, I hope that this isn't like for a bit, but I don't think it is. There's like an artist who makes like sculptures out of sugar. Mm-hmm. And then at like some show, people just like started like licking and sucking on the sculptures. And he was like, you're not supposed to do that. But I think he like had a pretty good humor about it. He's like, you don't know where people's mouths have been. Which, yeah, you know, like,
them.
That's slowly destroying the work. But, you know, yeah, I think I would be pretty fucking annoyed if somebody thought they were just going to go ahead and collaborate with me on a piece that I did. Yeah. But when it comes to like the antics, slashing the painting because you're like, I hate abstract art. And then slash it again. Like, it's just so drama. It's just so diva to me. And I...
Oh, for sure.
I kind of can't, like, hate it that much, you know?
True. Yeah.
But it's fun. It's just for fun.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think that's all I had to say. Do you have any closing thoughts?
No. I love learning stuff. I learned new things today.
Okay. I'm going to have you bring some more homework for me next time.
Oh,